Lecture topic, The Reality of the Grave, Part 2.
Intelligence has been condensed in preparing Al-Kayyis, Man Dana Nafsahu Wa Amila Lima Ba'd Al-Mawt. Now how do we go about? What did Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu say? He said, اقرأ تبارك الذي بيده الملك. Learn Surah Tabarak. وعلمها أهلك وولدك وجيرانك. For Allah's sake, teach it to your wife. Teach it to your children, nay, teach it to your siblings. In fact, teach it to your neighbors. Wajirana, go and teach it to your, we see today people are, you know, on a particular mission and they're promoting something and they're going from person to person. You know, going from this one here, promoting this theory. They say this people were flying. So this youngster was in the buzz of, you know what, you must use contraceptive measures and, we must curtail and curb down, you know, the population crisis. So he came to one pious person. He said, what do you believe about birth control? He said, how old are you, my friend? He said, I'm 20 years. He said, I wish they started it 20 years ago. At least we wouldn't have it. You were here. I wish they started it 20 years ago. Anyway, what I'm saying is a person is moving from person to person. You see these people promoting, selling this article and that. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, go and teach Tabarak to the whole world. فَإِنَّهَا الْمُنَجِّيَةِ فَإِنَّهَا الْمُنَجِّيَةِ تُجَادِلُ وَتُخَاسِمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لِقَارِئَةِ. It will stand in the grave and argue your case before Allah. And trust me, it won't leave you till Allah doesn't forgive you. It will not leave you till Allah doesn't forgive you. One riwayat of Tirmidhi, one sahabi says, I pitched a tent and I wasn't even conscious of it. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِإِنسَانٍ يَقْرَأْ سُورَةَ تَبَارَكَ. Suddenly I heard a man reading Surah Tabarak. I moved my tent, I went straight to Nabi alayhi salam. I said, O Nabi of Allah, by mistake, I pitched my tent and then I realized it was a grave and I heard Tabarak. Read Tabarak. What is the opening verses of Tabarak? الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ. How Allah introduces life. I have created life and death to only examine you if you obey me or not. Then he says, look at the sky above you and look at the earth beneath you. Then Allah says, I challenge you and I invite you. Do me a favor, don't look once, look twice, look thrice. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ. I challenge you, look at my creation repeatedly and then come back to me if you find any fault or any flaw. Then Allah goes on to say, ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا. Your gaze will return to you defeated because my creation is flawless. Your gaze will return to you helpless. You'll give in, you'll have to throw the towel in. Where can I find fault in the creation of my Allah? كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير. Just ponder over what is mentioned in Surah Tabarak. Every time a group will be thrown in hell, the angels will ask them for the record. We just want to ask you, were you told? Are you aware? No, I was aware. You know about the day of Qiyamah? You were informed? 100%. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَفَّاتِ. You ever took out time, Allah is asking in Surah Tabarak, and look at the birds above you, how they fly. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. What is it that the law of gravity pulls you down? But the bird flies. I remember once I was in America, they took me to this place, what they call it, mystery spot, where the whole system of gravity is haywire. And ball rolls upwards. And all, you know, funny things happening. Allah asks you the question, what is it that this bird flies? The law of gravity pulls you down, but the bird remains above. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. It is only Allah that keeps that bird floating. It's only Allah that keeps that bird flying and gliding above you. So Surah Tabarak, recite Surah Tabarak. Then, what did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mention? He's with the Sahaba. He's out with the Sahaba. The riwayat is in Muslim Sharif. And he's mounted onto his conveyance. Suddenly the animal becomes restless. Nabi alayhi salam says, looks like this animal has seen some punishment in the grave. فَإِذَا هُنَاكَ سِتَّةُ أَقْبُرُ. Suddenly we found six graves. Nabi alayhi salam says, مَنْ يَعْرِفْ أَصْحَابَ هَذِهِ الْأَقْبُرُ. Is there anybody knows who's sleeping in this grave here? Is there anybody knows who is resting in this grave? So one sahabi stood up, he says, I know these people. Matu fil ishraq. These are people who died before accepting Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna hadhihi al-umma tubtala fi quburiha. Believe me, these people are going through some grave conditions in their grave. And I and this animal have seen certain things at this moment. And if it wasn't for the fear that you stop burying your deceased, I would have asked Allah to also show you what I see. لَوْلَا أَلَّا تَدَافَنُوا لَدَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ أَن يُسْمِعَكُم مِّنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. If it wasn't for the fear that you stop burying, I would have asked Allah. Allah speaks in the Quran, أَنَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا. That every morning and every evening, hell is opened up and it is presented before Fir'aun. This is the verse of the Quran. The people of Fir'aun are shown that what you are suffering is not the worst. The worst is yet to come. Qatada said, يُقَالُ لَهُمْ هَذِهِ مَنَازِلُكُمْ. What did Sayyidina Ali say? مَازِلْنَا نَشُكُّ فِي عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ حَتَّى أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرِ. People kept on doubting the reality of the grave till Allah revealed the verse. Then he said, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرِ. That the crave of more has blinded you. It will only be suppressed when you'll be handed over to your grave. Rabi ibn Anas says, سَنُعَذِّبُهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ. Where Allah says, we'll punish them twice. One will be in their grave. So anyway, Nabi alayhi salam, the riwayat is in Muslim Sharif. The animal gets excited. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, calm this animal. After the animal is calm, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, listen to me, my sahaba. تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ. Ask Allah protection from the punishment of hell. Sahaba said, Na'udhu billahi min adabin nar. We ask Allah protection from the fire of hell. Then he said, Ta'awwadhu billahi min adabil qabr. Be emphatic and ask Allah protection from the punishment of the grave. We said, we ask Allah protection from the punishment of the grave. He then said, Ta'awwadhu billahi min fitnati min al-fitan ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Ask Allah protection from every evil, the hidden and the apparent. We said, we ask Allah protection. Then he said, تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. Ask Allah protection from the fitna of Dajjal. Now what is the greatest reason that leads to the punishment in the grave? This is a sad reality. He held the hand of his beloved wife Maymuna. He said, يَا مَيْمُونَةُ يَا مَيْمُونَةُ. Oh my beloved wife Maymuna, let me tell you why people will suffer in the grave the most. إِنَّ أَشَدَّ عَذَابَ الْقَبْرِ. The greater portion of the torment of the grave will be because of two crimes. One is because of backbiting, and one is negligence with regards to urine drops. One is negligence with regards to urine drops. I have been told, and I say this out of concern, that at the Jamia, many of our Muslims frequent this place. They tend to attend a place where to start off, people are semi-nude, if not totally nude. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا تَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ فَخِذِ حَيِّنْ وَلَا مَيِّتْ. Don't look at the thigh of a living nor a deceased. Look at the level of haya we've been taught. She is deceased. She is a corpse. She is late. She is old. She is wrapped. Yet we put an additional cover over the grave when she's lowered inside. What did Aisha Siddiqa say? When Nabi alayhi salam passed away, I would go to the grave and stand by the grave. At times, sitting next to the grave, my eyes would close and I would sleep because it was my room. It was my husband. Then my father Abu Bakr passed away. I would enter the grave. One side was my father, one side was my husband. But then Umar passed away. I never entered my room without veiling myself because a stranger was buried. One riwayat, my Nabi said, my daughter Fatima, she is so modest. When she will stand up, an announcer will announce, drop your gazes, Fatima wants to walk. Entire hashar will be compelled to drop. Today, when the bride walks in, if your gazes are dropped, they lift their gazes. In she comes in. And then the girls sing in aside. And what is the beauty? The Quran, the hadith says that Fatima, and she will stand up, the entire hashar. And who was Fatima? Kafa biki sharafan. Kafa biki sharafan. Antakuni sayyidata nisa'i ahlil jannah. Fatima, it is enough virtue for you that you are the queen of the woman of Jannah. So she comes to Nabi alayhi salam, who is in the throes of death, and she gets emotional. She sees the pain. Aisha radiallahu anha said, prior to seeing the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, I always had the notion that if a person died with ease, then he is a very lucky person. And if a person went through a bit of pain and difficulty, then that's an unpleasant death. But my theory changed because I seen the extent of the perspiration on the body of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing very well that there couldn't be a greater human. I was convinced that the very theory of death was challenging. So Fatima says, I came. I seen how he was crying. What was Nabi alayhi salam's words? Laysa ala abiki karabun ba'da al-yawm. Oh, my daughter Fatima, you seen your father crying a lot. But believe me, this is the last you've ever seen your father crying. After he takes his last breath, it's only peace. It is the end of all difficulties. Today, unfortunately, it is the other way around. So it's comforts and luxury in this world. Pain starts when our eyes close. Pain starts when our eyes close. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Istanzihu min al-bawl. Abstain from urine drops. How sad a reality that how many Muslims use the urinals. It is inconceivable for me. Literally inconceivable that as Muslims we understand how conscious we are of purity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says negligence towards urine drops will cause you the greatest punishment in the grave. Half of us unfortunately cannot squat and relieve ourselves, which is the correct way, which is the manner of the... Scientifically again they will tell you that is the best way because there's no contact with the body and germs etc. But from the perspective of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, today unfortunately sitting in the washroom or like one person, you know, in the States they call it the restroom. So why you don't get place to rest anywhere else? That's the only place to rest. The restroom. Be conscious of that. The second thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ghibah. Ghibah. Because of backbiting, this will cause you major problems in your grave. Really speaking, brothers, I can speak about much more about the qabr. The only thing that I'm saying this year is that we become conscious. When Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu was in the throes of death, his son came to him. Now make no mistake, Amr ibn As was the Fatiha Misr, the conqueror of Egypt. There's a brilliant book written on his entire life and how he conquered and known as Fatiha Misr. You know, when he conquered Egypt, and amongst the many things that the setbacks, one was the strange practice that the people had with River Nile, that they would sacrifice a young girl, throw her in the water, and then the water would flow. And when he walked in there, these were rulers once upon a time. He said, this practice will not remain. Now look at their authority. He then writes to Umar. He says, Umar, we have a problem here. We have a stumbling block here. This was the usual practice that they would sacrifice a girl. Umar said, إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَ. Islam is out to refute and to destroy all these practices. So how do we get water? Umar said, okay, I write a letter. I write a letter to the water. Look at that. Today we can't write a letter to our children. We can't write a letter to our children. We've got to be selective and we don't know how they're going to respond. We can't communicate with our wives. We can't issue a decree. We can't issue a command. The tone has to be polite. The attitude has to be passive. The approach must be gentle. It must be tough. He wrote to the water. Min Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab. And this is in Hayatul Sahaba. From Umar ibn al-Khattab to the River Nile. In kunta tajri min qiblik fala tajri. Listen, if you flow by your own accord, then for Allah's sake, don't flow. We don't need your water. And if you're flowing by the will of Allah, I ask him. He told Amr ibn As, you receive my note, drop it in. He was out in battle, he received the letter. He was out in Medina, the Sahaba were out. They wrote to him and they said, we need reinforcement. He sent three Sahaba. We're in the history of, he sent reinforcement. So people asked him three, he said, these three people have Allah and his Nabi in their life totally. If you got them, Allah's help is with them. And if they don't have Allah, then regardless of their numbers, Allah is not with them. Never did this ummah win on numbers. Three people as reinforcement. So the approach was to, anyway, Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu is in the throes of death. Then he starts crying. So his son tells him, Ama basharaka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi kada wa kada. Oh my father, what you crying? And I heard so many times the Prophet of Allah said, Jannat is yours. He said, yes my son, but that's one side of it. There's another side, you don't know about it. You don't know about it. We all have a negative past. We have an evil past. And may Allah don't ever reveal it to anyone. None of us are proud of our wrong. This is the mercy of Allah. In fact, in one riwayat, I read the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person will appear before Allah. And then his book of deeds will be presented. Then he'll start going through his good deeds. And he'll start rejoicing as he'll read his good deeds. And Allah will say, if I don't accept it, he'll say, Allah, that's an hour. You're hitting me with another number here. Allah, I know you'll accept it. Allah, I know you'll accept it. So Allah will say, go, I've accepted everything. He'll fall into sajda. Outside people will say, Subhanallah, look at this man. Then he'll get up again. Then he'll start seeing his sins. His face will turn pale. His eyes will become moist. His heartbeat will increase. He'll start perspiring. Allah knows everything. Allah will say, I have forgiven it. I have forgiven it, my son. And don't scream so that others don't know you've made this mistake. Then he'll fall in sajda again. People from the outside will say, look at this man, he's only done good, he's only making shukr. Not realizing the first gratitude was in acceptance of the good actions. The latter gratitude was on the pardon of his sins. Such is the kindness of Allah. Such is the kindness of Allah. So anyway, he'll say, oh my son, I have three errors. There was an error in my life where I hated Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most prior to Islam. Prior to Islam. You know, Allah has given us this opportunity. I came across a quotation in Ibn Abi Dunya makes mention on the strength of Yazid ibn Nu'ama that there was an epidemic that broke out in one Muslim place. And one young girl passed away in this epidemic. فَلَقِيَهَا أَبُوهَا بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And this is very, very important, brothers. Her father seen her in a dream after she passed away. And he always had the passion to know. I mentioned this to you, but let me say it again. Last year when I was in the States, then one day I spoke about the punishment of the grave. And whenever I visit any place, then I make it a point to visit the graveyard. Whichever country, routinely, amongst all the people, one is to visit the pious of the locality, and one is to visit the cemetery. I try my level best to make these two visits in every country, every town, visit the graveyard, make dua. So anyway, I was giving the talk, and in the crowd, there was a big audience, this was in California. I seen one brother in the crowd, he was literally sobbing. Literally sobbing. So after the program was over, I went away. My host came to me, he says, you know what, my friend's got a problem, and he wants to talk with you. So I said, no problem. Tomorrow after Taraweeh, I'll go to his house. So he agreed, and after Taraweeh, I went with him. We sat down in the car. I can still picture distinctly, the whole picture is before me. We sat down in the car, and we started driving towards his house. A very well respected, dignified, matured, composed human. Obviously, he was very emotional. He started crying. He said, let me just take you back a few years and tell you the whole picture. I came here to America about 30 years ago. My children were born here. Alhamdulillah, I have a good established practice here. We prospered. I had so many children. I lost one son last year at the age of 24. I said, okay, right now I am understanding what's happening. He said, he then took me into the house, took me to his room, and he started crying. I pacified him. I tried to, you know, calm him down. He said, I'm not crying over that he's gone. I mean, that was the will of Allah. He had to go when the time Allah decided. But I'm very, very hurt. I brought him to this land, and I gave him everything but deen. And really, Allah be my witness, my burning desire is not, if I've given one choice, my choice is not that my son must be revived. My choice is, or my desire is, that my son must be in peace. But there's an inner feeling that haunts me continuously, because in my whole life, I never told him about Allah. I gave him everything. We lived here the most comfortable life. Tragically here, he showed me in Fremont, this is where the accident happened. He was coming back. It was this day, and with his friends, and he passed away. But the thing that haunts me, and he said, since then, I started reading the Quran, and I started reading about the grave. And I cry every single day. 3 years have passed, I cry every single day. And my desire is, if Allah can ever show me my son, and I just need to know, how does he fare? Where is he by Allah? He then took me to the place where he sat, the place where he slept, the place where he ate, and obviously, like any father would, life would never be the same. Life would never, you know, like someone said, you will live on, you'll move on, but you won't literally be there. So I comforted him, I consoled him, and I told him the beauty of Islam. So anyway, this person says, my daughter died in the epidemic, and after she passed away, I seen her in a dream. So I told her, Ya bunayyatu akhbirini anil akhirah. Oh my daughter, tell me what is this life of akhirat. Tell me what is this life of akhirah. So she tells me in the dream, قَدِمْنَا عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. Oh my father, it is a different world altogether. It is a different world altogether. I remember the first time when I was still studying, I was must have been 16, 17 years, when I completed my third year, and my first trip I went overseas to Australia for Taraweeh. And you know, first trip outside, adventurous, what it is, it's now phoning back home, what you've seen, talking of, you know, pre-94, so to see people with fair skin cleaning the roads itself was, wow, does this happen in the world? You're coming from an apartheid background, it was like something inconceivable for me. He says, oh my dad, we are in a different land. But then these words of hers left me thinking. She said, نَعْلَمُ وَلَا نَعْمَلُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Oh my father, we understand it, but we can't perform it. You can perform it, but you don't understand it. Oh my father, we understand it, but we can't perform it. You can perform the deed, but you don't understand it. Suffice to say, لَتَسْبِيحَةٌ أَوْ رَكْعَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Give me a credit of one subhanallah, it is more precious to me than the whole world. Suffice to say, one subhanallah. You know, one scholar gave the best example regarding the grave. He says it's like a person goes fishing. And then a lot of people fish, some people fish for to eat the fish, some what they fish for the challenge, for the fight. The other day I met a brother, he opened up another shop and I said, he said, no, I'm just for the challenge I'm opening it. I said, boy, there's enough challenges in life, man. Huh? Do you need to put more challenges in your life? Maybe take another wife. I told you that article that I read. There's good news and bad news. The good news is that married men live longer than single men. But the bad news is that married men are more willing to die. I won't say more, my wife's got a speaker in the kitchen now. Yeah, subhanallah. What was I speaking? Speaking about the incident. Some people do it for the sake of a challenge. What a beautiful example. The fisherman comes, he casts the rod. Subhanallah. Look at the vision. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. He casts the rod. He's got the bait hanging. The policeman on top. One fish comes advancing to the bait. 10 other fish surround him. Hey, don't eat. Don't fall for this. This is a trap. What do you mean a trap, man? It's beautiful food. No. This is a trap, my brother. What's the trap like? Listen, if you bite, there's a man sitting outside. He pulls you out. As soon as you are pulled out, you die immediately to start off. That's the lightest penalty. You drop into his car, into the trunk. You're taken home. His wife then fries you in boiling hot oil. There are 8 people that sit on a table with 36 teeth and they grind you to pieces. Okay, wait, I'll do my research and I'll get back to you. So he leaves the bait, he goes swimming in the water. He goes, he comes back, hey, there's no fisherman, there's no rod, there's no teeth, there's no oil. But it's outside the water, how are you looking for it in the water? My Nabi said it's going to happen in the grave when your eyes close. You'll never understand it in this world. So now it depends on this fish to decide. The fish, either it makes the right call or the wrong, but the consequences are grave. It's tempting. I mentioned this last week when we went hunting. So, you know, routinely with the few places, whenever we go for lectures, then after that they take us hunting. And not that I shot anything, you know, blank shots. Although I was very close the last time. As we walking in, I seen this the last time on the game farm and I seen it last week again. I seen it again on the same game farm. I seen few, you know, dead cattle. So I asked the owner of the farm, I said, now, Hafizab, what is this? He said, Maulana, you're not going to believe this. He took up a green blade of grass, tulip. He said, this grass is greener than the other, but it is dead poison for this cattle. The temptation is it's green. If this cattle eat it, in 6 hours they die instantly. We try and familiarize them that it's poisonous as soon as they come in when we get new cattle. And then again, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the wisdom. People ask, why this? Goal is permissible for the females, forbidden for the male. If the goat eats it, nothing happens. If the sheep eat it, nothing happens. If a cow eats it, it dies immediately. Then the challenge of the whole thing is it's greener than other grass. What did the Prophet, immediately this hadith came to my mind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dunya hulwatun khadira." This world is sweet and green. These are the words of the Prophet. So this is the challenge for the cattle. That you remind them, you warn them, but again, because it's green, they advance towards it. Immediately they get constipated. It then leads to excruciating pain and you cannot sustain them. They collapse and he says, we try and slaughter them in time if they happen to eat it. You can't stop the growth of these tulips and you can't stop the cows. And in this way, he says, this year we lost 10 cattle because of this. So again, the temptation, it's green. So that example of the fisherman is really an apt example for us to reflect. Let me end with an incident of Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. In the throes of death, he tells his son, I had three errors. One was the error of absolute darkness when I hated the Prophet of Allah. And if I had to die in that condition, my son, then obviously I would have gone to hellfire. ثم جعل الله الإسلام في قلبي. Then Allah favored me with Islam. And I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I accepted. And while he was alive, that was my best error. I wish I died while he was alive. You know, sometimes you see yourself going through different emotions. And when you see yourself dropping in piety, you wish you would have gone or you had passed away at the time when you were in the climax of your piety. You were at the best of your spirituality. But obviously, time is decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, ثُمَّ وُلِّينَا أَشْيَا, the luxuries of this world open up. So really, my son, I don't know how is Allah going to judge me. But I have two requests to you after I die. When I pass away, the first thing, I don't want people to come and flatter me here. No, I don't want people to come and unduly praise me that he was such a man. Oh, what a great human. What a person. I mentioned, you know, my ustad used to always say that generally, women will praise their husbands on two occasions. The first is when she is proposed to him before she got married to him. You know, I heard so much about him. You know, what a great guy. Everybody has given me good words. He's a wonderful person. And the second is when his janaza is lifted from the house. Your late father was a good boy. I say it with tears in my eyes. Tell the man when he's alive. Tell the man when he's... Does it take the death of a man to say your father was a good man? Praise the man when he's alive. Say a kind word to him when he's alive. Give him flowers not at his grave when he's alive. I don't want people to come and praise me unduly. Because, you know, a person was walking, someone insulted him. He said, listen, my brother, no offense to your criticism. There's a bridge between me and Jannat. If I make it across the bridge, I don't care what you say because Allah considered me successful. But if I fail to cross that bridge, trust me, I'm worse than what you said. Because the crucial moment is this bridge. If I made it, it doesn't make a difference to you. If the university recognizes you and you got official certification, now one ordinary person says, no, I don't believe you're a doctor. Good luck to you, my brother. Good luck. In fact, in Arabic, they say, إِذَا أَتَتْكَ مَذَمَّتِي مِن نَاقِسٍ فَهِيَ الشَّهَادَةُ لِي بِأَنِّي كَامِلُ. When an incompetent person frowns on me, then that's reflection on my competence. Because he's not a qualified man that is frowning on me. He's an incompetent man. He himself is not skilled. If he's a skilled man that he's got an objection against me, then there's merit. But he's not skilled. So his objection is a proof of my perfection. إِذَا أَتَتْكَ مَذَمَّتِي مِن نَاقِسٍ فَهِيَ الشَّهَادَةُ لِي بِأَنِّي كَامِلُ. So I don't want people to come and praise me and flatter me. That's the first thing. Then he said, oh my son, after you've lowered me into my grave, فَمْكُثُوا عِنْدَ قَبْرِي قَدْرَ مَا يُنْحَرُ جُزُورٌ وَيُقْسَمُ لَحْمُهَا. Stand by my grave. I'm asking you as my son. Stand there for the duration that a camel is slaughtered and the meat is distributed. And recite La ilaha illallah excessively. By virtue of your spirituality, it will empower me and it will easen it for me to answer my angels swiftly. That's the request of a dying father to his son. Not, my son, please take care of the shop. You know, I put my sweat, I brought this business up. You know what I did? You know what I brought up to put this business in this place? That were not the words. That were not the words. But rather the words were, oh, my son, you stand by my grave and remember me by my grave. Really, my brother, if you've left behind children that know where you are buried, then you've left behind a handsome legacy. But if you left behind children who only know where your money lies and don't know where you lie, you've wasted your life and you've made the biggest blunder. Forgive me if I say it crude. If you left behind children who know where to visit your grave and they know where their father is buried, then there is something good you've left behind. Otherwise, I'm afraid they will continue with your evil practices and you will suffer in the grave. Then he said, Allahumma innaka amartana fa'asayna wa nahaytana faman tahayna wa la yasa'una illa afwak. Allahumma la qawiyun fa'antasir wa la bariyun fa'a'tadhir wa la mustankirun bal mustaghfirun. Allah, you told me to do a lot of things, but unfortunately I didn't live up to it. Allah, you prohibited me, but I did not abstain. Allah, it's your mercy and not my actions. Then he said, Allah, I'm not strong that I can argue with the angel. Who are you? Why you came? That was Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. In the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, when the angel of death came to take out his soul, the riwayat of Muslim, latama wajhahu, Musa alayhi salam slapped him when his eye fell out. He went back to Allah, arsaltani ila abdin la yuridul maut. Allah, I need to report back to you. We had a strange happening today. Reporting live. What happened? Allah, you send me to a man who doesn't want to die. Allah said, that is my servant Musa. He wasn't aware that you're the angel, but go to him. And then tell him you are the angel of death and tell him I have sent you. And then tell him, we give him an option. يَضَعُ يَدَهُ عَلَى مَتَنِ ثَوْرٍ فَلَهُ بِمَا غَتَّتْ يَدُهُ بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ سَنَى. This is exclusive to him. If he wants, he can put his hand on the back of a bull, and every strand of hair that he touches, he will be granted extension of 1 year's life. Go and tell this is to Musa. Number one, we don't get this. Number two, if we get it, we'll look for the most hairy cow. So he came to Musa in the riwayat of Muslim Sharif. Allah has given you this choice. Musa said, okay, I will use my hands, put it on a cow, live for so long, then what? He said, then you still have to die. You still have to die. What did Allah say? يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَن يُعَمَّرُ. Live for 1,000 years, it won't save you from your torment, you still suffer. So he said, if I have to die at that stage, rather now. Rather now. And then he asked Allah that, oh Allah, bring me close to this sacred land of Baytul Muqaddas. And Nabi alayhi salam told his sahaba, if I was there at that location, at the foot of this hill, at the foot of a red hill, I would have shown you the location of the grave of Musa alayhi salatu was salam. So anyway, he said, Allah, I'm not strong that I'm going to engage your angels and I'm going to, who sent you, where you coming from? No, Allah, I'm not strong, I can't argue. Wala bariyun. And I'm not innocent that I can prove my innocence. Saying this, he read the kalima and he took his last breath. Really, brothers, I made my talk exclusive to the qabr. We've heard the virtue of this night, we heard the speciality of this night, but it's time we start reflecting on this grave. We need to take it more seriously. We pass by the graveyard daily, routinely, yet we don't reflect over it. In one riwayat of Bukhari, there was a janazah that passed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood up. Sahaba said, it's a non-Muslim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, but it is symbolic to death. It's death. It's a disease. It's a corpse. It's leaving this world. It's a sign. End of the day, it's death. It's got to bring a halt. It's got to just jam your movement. It's got to just interrupt your plan. It's just got to abruptly, you know, end your actions of the day. Unfortunately, that has not happened. Hey, yeah, shame, tragic. Anyway, so we're meeting on Monday, eh? We're meeting on Monday. Finish. We've buried the topic, gone, and it's moved on. This, you know, when the reality of life, if it had to stop for anyone, it would have stopped for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but life carried on. If life had to stop, it would have stopped for Nabi Alaihi Salatu Wasallam, but it carried on. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she lost her brother Abdul Rahman, And then she was in Medina, and he passed away in Makkah. Then when she went for Hajj, she said, on the way, I'll just pass by the grave of my brother. I wasn't there, I was in Medina, so I could not see the death of my brother and be there for the funeral of my brother. So when she came by the grave of her brother, she sang few couplets. She said, وَكُنَّا كَنَدْمَانَيْ جَزِيمَةَ حِقْبَةً مِنَ الدَّهْرِ حَتَّى قِيلَ لَنْ يَتَصَدَّعَ فَلَمَّا تَفَرَّقْنَا كَأَنِّي وَمَالِكَ لِتُولِجْتِمَاعٍ لَمْ نَبِتْ لَيْلَةً مَعَا. My brother and myself were like the two ministers of the king Jazima, who ruled for such a long period that people said they are inseparable. That is how bonded I was to my brother. But then out of the two ministers, one died and the other one had to live. And then life carried on for him in such a way that he used to say, it is as if I never met my brother. It is as if I never met. Life carried on for him. After the death of someone, just the name will make you emotional. Then you'll get grips, you'll be able to hear the name, but you won't be able to see his clothes. Then a time will come, you will pass by and you say, my late brother with a smile on your face is buried in this graveyard. So life will carry on, my brother. It didn't stop for him, it didn't stop for me, it will not stop for anyone. I will be lowered and I will have to answer. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that He make us conscious of our qabr. He make us amongst those people that starts developing their graves. It's time we start furnishing our grave. You know, how many times people won't move in that house just because the paving is not done. Everything is done, the paving is not done. One remote in the gate is not fitted. No, no, everything must be done. The house must be furnished. And we want to walk into a grave which we know what is the condition. We know how it has been neglected. Our grave is what we make of it. So it's time we furnish our grave. It is time we brighten our grave. Allah make us amongst those fortunate people. Recite Durud Sharif. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma ja'al ijtima'ana hadha ijtima'an marhuma. وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اجعل أولادنا برا تقيا وأنبتهم في الإسلام نباتا حسنا اللهم بارك لنا في رجب وشعبان وبلغنا إلى رمضان اللهم تقبل صلاتنا وصيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وتقبل منا صالح أعمالنا وجعلنا من المقبولين في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.